Don't forget. Don't forget these four gets. We've got four gets that we want to look at. Actually, I'm going to give you a bonus four at the end, so we've really got eight, but we're going to focus on four of them, then we'll just throw the last four in at the end. As we think about these four gets, we want to notice some things as a matter of introduction. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. The Apostle Paul writes and says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? And what communion or fellowship does light have with darkness? What concord does Christ have with Belial? Or what part has the one who believes with the unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate." We talked about that with Noah this morning. "Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Paul makes it very clear in these scriptures, in these verses, this section of scripture, that there needs to be a clear distinction between Christians and the world. And I'm afraid sometimes, because we forget some of these four gets that we're going to look at this morning, sometimes because we forget them, we blur those lines between ourselves and the world. We become too intertwined or too entangled in the world, and we're not truly separate from them. Now, realize that when he says come out from them and be separate, it doesn't mean that we need to all move off to a monastery somewhere and wall ourselves away from the rest of the world. Jesus specifically prayed to his Father not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. So, he specifically said, no, I don't want you to take them out of this world. Paul on other occasions explains that, no, I don't mean that you don't have any association at all with them. But we don't join together with the people of the world. We can't live the same kinds of lives that the worldly people live. We've got to be different. And so we want to look at that. John Newton, who's probably best known as being the one who wrote the song Amazing Grace, he once said, "I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I'm not what I hope to be. But I thank God I am not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am." John Newton was a very interesting fellow. He had actually been a slave trafficker. He bought and sold human beings for a living, took them from one place to another in ships. He took a slave ship and sailed the oceans, picking up slaves, selling slaves, buying slaves. That's what he did before he came to understand that he shouldn't live that kind of a life any longer. And then he changed his life through the grace of God, he says. "It's by the grace of God I am what I am." Even though he wasn't all that he wanted to be, he did realize some things that he shouldn't be. So there are some things we don't need to forget. Don't forget to get out of the world and into Christ. That's the first most obvious thing. We've got to get out of the world and we've got to get into Christ. Unfortunately, so many times we spend so much more time, physically speaking, we're out there in the world a lot more than we're here together with our fellow Christians in Christ. And so because of that, it wears on us. And it tears us down. And it makes us harder for us to live in Christ. Because we struggle so much because just physically, we do live in this world so many hours out of our day. This same thing is certainly true with our young people, our students, that, you know, They spend 8 hours a day, 5 days a week at school being taught many times humanistic, evolutionistic, atheistic teaching, and then they come to Bible class for, 45 minutes or maybe an hour and a half if they come Sunday morning and Wednesday night to be taught about the Bible. And is an hour and a half really going to outweigh 40 hours? No, that's not enough. We've got to be spending time at home studying God's Word. It's not enough to do it just when we're here together. It's never going to be enough. In fact, I've done a little bit of math and found that even if we count all of the times that we're together for Bible study and worship as a congregation, it would take us 90 years if we came every time. It'd take 90 years to get the equivalent of a high school diploma. Now, most of us don't have 90 years. And most of us, we need more than just a high school diploma in spiritual things. How are we going to get that? We're going to have to take time out of our lives other than just when we're here together. We're going to have to study God's Word outside of these four walls. We're going to have to do it at other times as well. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Paul says, "Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." So he tells us we need to have a new life. We need to be out of the world and into Christ. If we've been baptized into Christ, then we've started that process and we need to keep it up. We need to keep at it. But if we haven't, then that needs to be the thing that we start with. Galatians 3, 26 and 27, "For ye all are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And so again, we're talking about this separation from the world, the same thing we talked about with Noah, with being undefiled. We've come out of the world, we've been baptized into Christ, we've put on Christ, we've been baptized into His death. We're walking a new life now. Things are different. We're living a different life. Then the second thing we need to not forget is to get the world out of you and Christ into you. You know, they talk about sometimes how you can take this person out of that, but you can't take that. You know, they say, you can take a country boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy, and that kind of thing. People say things like that all the time. Well, sometimes we've got people who have come out of the world into Christ, but they're not taking the world out of them. They came out of the world and they've kept the world with them when they just bring it into the church. That's part of the struggle that the church has throughout history, is being corrupted by worldly things. The church is a spiritual place with spiritual things, and yet people come in and they bring worldly things and many times corrupt it and defile it. John Flavel says, "It's easier to cry against 1,000 sins of others than to kill one of your own." You know, most of the sins that we struggle with in our lives, we struggle with them because they're things that we have an affection for. And as long as we have that affection for that sinful thing, we'll never get it out of our lives. Colossians 3, 5 through 10 tells us to kill your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. For these things the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. And you walked in these things when you lived in them. But now put off also anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Let's think about that for just a minute. Have we put off that old man? Yes, we got out of the world and into Christ. But have we been getting the world out of us? And have we been putting Christ in to replace it? Probably have mentioned before the story about the little boy with the basket, and his grandfather said, go out and pick up a bunch of little sticks, some kindling for the fire, and fill that basket up with it. And the boy came back in with the basket full of kindling. And then the grandfather said, okay, now go out there to the hen house and fill that basket with eggs. And he said, well, Grandpa, I can't. It's full of kindling. Well, good, okay. Dump the kindling out and then go fill it with eggs. You have to understand, the boy could put some kindling and some eggs in there, or he could fill it with kindling and not have room for eggs, or he could fill it with eggs and not have room for the kindling. But if we fill our lives with Christ, we're not going to have room for the world. But if we fill our lives with the world, we're not going to have room for Christ. But one of the things that we don't understand is Christ isn't going to share room with the world. So if we want the world in there, there's no place for Him. Because He doesn't share us with the world. Now, like we said on one occasion, people always say, make Jesus part of your life. Jesus doesn't want to be part of your life. He wants to be your whole life. We have that song, He is my everything. He is my all. That's the way it's supposed to be. There's not room for Him and the world to live in our hearts. One will strangle out the other. One way or the other, we'll only have room in our hearts for one master. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you are reprobates. And so he warns, you've got a choice. Either Christ is living in you, or the world's living in you, and you're a reprobate to God. We can't have it both ways. And the third thing we want to notice, to not forget, to get out into the world with Christ. You know, sometimes we get out of the world and we get into Christ and we try to get the world out of us and live holy lives and try to be righteous. But then we forget. We need to get Christ back out there into the world so that they can know about Him. Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its savor, how will it be salted again? It's no good for anything except to be cast out and trodden underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill can't be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a basket, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We've got to get Christ out there into the world and let them see Him. Let them see who He really is. Let them see how different living the Christian life is from living the life that Satan has planned for everyone. And how much better a life it is to live like Christ wants us to than to live like the devil wants us to. And it's tricky, because the devil lies to people. The devil tells people, oh, you can do whatever you want to do. It's freedom to live the way I'm saying. Just do whatever you want. And Jesus says, living however you want is not going to bring you joy. It's not going to give you an abundant life. It's going to destroy you. But people are so wrapped up in, well, I want to do it this way. I'm going to do it my way. I don't want anybody else telling me what to do, that they ignore Jesus and they listen to Satan. And it destroys their lives. How many people do we know are out there living however they wanted to live? And now they're absolutely miserable because they've destroyed their lives with drugs and alcohol with sexually transmitted diseases and with, you know, pregnancies outside of marriage and all sorts of things, and they're wrecking their lives. And they're miserable with it the way it is. And yet they still want to keep, well, I want to do what I want to do. We need to come to Jesus and understand how important it is to do what He wants us to do to have true joy. We need to let our light shine out there so people can see Christ living in us. Ephesians 6, 14 and 15. As standing therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We need to have our gospel shoes on, and we need to be going with our feet out to share that gospel with others. The good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel of peace. How many people do you know that would love to have some peace in their life? They can't get a moment's peace? Well, why not? Well, because they don't have the gospel of peace. They don't have the Prince of Peace. They don't have any peace in their lives because they're living under the very one who destroys peace. And He won't allow it. Galatians 2:22, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So we need to put our armor on and get out there into the world. We don't need to go out there without our armor on. That'd be crazy, wouldn't it? Even our soldiers know, they don't go into battle without their armor on. They have that body armor. But we need our armor on as well. We need to think about that and prepare. But we've got to get out there in the world with Christ. And then, of course, the last thing, the last of the four, is to get the world into Christ with you. Now, that doesn't mean bring the worldly things from the world into Christ. That's not what it means. But we need to get the people out there that are in the world that have been blinded by Satan and fooled by him into believing that that's the way to live. We need to get them out of there. They're all out there drowning. And we need to rescue them. We need to help them get in the boat with us. If we've gotten out of the world, we need to help other people get out of the world. So we need to get the world into Christ with you. Acts 28 and verse 28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. There are people out there that will hear. We've not got to get out there to them. 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul tells Timothy, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures which are able to make you wise to salvation, that through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We need to be teaching our children, our grandchildren, our nieces and nephews, all the young people in our life, we need to be teaching them about the Scriptures that can bring them salvation through the faith in Jesus Christ. Titus 2:11 and 12, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. And we need to be sharing that with others. We need to be making sure that others can see the grace that has appeared to all men. But notice that grace doesn't just say, hey, I forgive you, keep living how you want to live. No, that's not the way that works. Instead, grace says, you deny that ungodliness and those worldly lusts. You come out of that. You live a righteous, godly life. That's what grace says. Grace doesn't say sin the more. Grace says stop sinning. And it's sad that so many in the religious world as well have told me, oh yeah, God will forgive you. It's okay. You just keep living how you're living. That's not what grace teaches us. Grace teaches us you stop living that way. If you love God, come to Him and straighten up and fly right. Live the way He wants you to live and please Him. John 3:17. You know, it's interesting. Everybody always quotes John 3:16. What about John 3:17? God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that through Him the world might be saved. Now He's coming again. Next time He comes, it won't be to offer people a second chance. Next time He comes, it'll be in judgment to destroy those who rebelled against Him and refused to accept His salvation. C.S. Lewis says, "When I was a child, I'd often have a toothache, and I knew that if I went to my mother, she'd give me something which would deaden the pain for that night and let me go to sleep. But I didn't go to my mother, at least not till the pain got very bad. And the reason I didn't go was this. I didn't doubt that she would give me the aspirin, but I knew she would also do something else. I knew she would take me to the dentist the next morning. And I couldn't get what I wanted out of her without getting something more, which I didn't want. I wanted immediate relief from my pain, but I could not get it without having my teeth set right permanently. And I knew those dentists. I knew they would start fiddling about with all sorts of other teeth, which had not yet begun to ache." You've been to the dentist. You know how that works, don't you? And so he says then, our Lord is like the dentist. Dozens of people go to Him to be cured of one particular sin. Well, He'll cure it all right, but He won't stop there. That may be all you ask for, but if you call Him in, He'll give you the full treatment. We need to realize that when we come to Christ, we can't just come and say, well, I'll give you this little piece or that little piece. No, if we're going to come in, we've got to submit to Him wholeheartedly and let Him have it all. Let Him take our whole life. I want to conclude by giving you four extra gets. Four more gets that we don't need to forget. Get the devil out of your life. Get the devil out of your home. Get the devil out of the church. And then get the devil out into the world and go teach them about Jesus. Maybe you've done some of those things. Maybe you've gotten out of the world and into Christ, but maybe you haven't gone out into the world with Christ, or maybe you haven't gotten people from the world to come into Christ with you. Maybe you haven't gotten the devil out of your life or out of your home. Maybe you've been part of the problem in keeping the church from getting the devil out of the church. Maybe you've been bringing him in with you when you come. We need to be sure that we're not forgetting these gets, these four gets that we've studied this morning. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation at this time for any reason, please do so as we stand and as we sing.